Let's all stand this morning, if you will. Turn your Bible, if you will, to the book of Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9 this morning.
Mr. Brother.
Help me sing.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
You know why?
Because he first loved me.
You know what, Woody?
He is so wonderful. He is so wonderful. He is so wonderful. Because he first loved me.
Genesis chapter 9, verse 18, the Bible says, "And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. And these are the three sons of Noah, and them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham and the father of Canaan saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward. And they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, Cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall be unto his brethren. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. And all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died." You can be seated. You say, "Preacher, what in the world have you read this morning? What in the world have you read?" Just hang on this morning. Amen. I believe God will speak to you through His book. In Genesis chapter 9, I bet you if you was old Noah, brother, you'd say, "I wish that was not recorded in the Word of God." If you're Noah. In Genesis chapter 9, Brother Garrett, Noah gets off the boat. He'd been on that boat a long time, Brother Jeff, and he'd been on that boat for many days, and the water was covering the earth. And he'd been on there stuck with all kinds of animals, all the animals of the world, and listen, been on there with his family. And God had brought Noah through a great victory and through a great storm in his life. And folks, you got to watch about when you go through a great victory or a great storm in your life. Something's going to come up and pop up on you the very next day or the very next week. Listen, when you get saved by God's marvelous grace, the devil's going to be all over you all week long. The devil's going to be all over you from henceforth on because he don't want you to be in the house of God. He don't want you to be what God wants you to be in this walk of life. So we find a man named Noah. He did something. He did something very bad. I'm not going to take up for Noah at one bit. But Noah got in the flesh, brother. And Noah had a problem. And if you and I ain't careful, we'll give in sometimes and compromise in his flesh. Or we'll give out sometimes and get tired. Or we'll just give up, brother. Some people just give up and quit. Some give in, some give out, and just some give up. I don't believe Noah give up. I believe Noah give out and give in and compromise. And he got in the flesh and he got in bad problems. Listen to me, dear friend. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how smart that you are in this Bible. You carry around something every day called your flesh. And Paul said in Romans chapter 7, Paul said, I find a war within me. There's a law, brother, a nuisance within me, a warring against me. He said that when I go to do good, I do it not. And when I do good that I won't want to do, that I do. It's a war in his flesh. And Noah's no different than me and you. Noah had problems right here. Noah came up. Hey, listen to me. He's 600 years old. And he plants a garden. And he raises grapes in that garden. And he takes that. And it's the first time in the Bible where you find where a man gets drunk. And God never speaks good about alcohol. Never does. You say, well, I'll just have a little drink. And Jesus drank wine. Jesus drank grape juice. You better study your Bible. Don't let somebody, listen to me, don't let somebody that don't know half God or the Bible try to justify their wicked drinking by saying that in the Word of God. That's nigh near blasphemous to say Jesus sit down and drunk like something you get at Hillbilly Liquors. That's not the Lord that we serve. And alcohol's always been bad. It's destroying our society. It's destroying our community. And bless God, it's about high time as somebody rear back and preach against liquor and preach against beer and preach against this mess in our community. Amen. Budweiser will show the big beautiful girls and boys out playing ball, but they won't show them puking under a bridge. They won't show their mangled bodies in the ER. They won't show the divorce. The homes broke up. The little children are crying around. Oh, listen, they ain't going to show that, but they're going to show the other stuff. That's what the devil does. But Noah got in the flesh. And Noah got in a mess. And if you're not careful, you and I, this is a preacher too.
Yes, sir.
If we're not careful, we can get in a mess. Now, I don't care who you are, listen. I don't care who you are. Sin don't discriminate. I don't care where you've been or what you've done. You can mess up and mess up your life if you're not sound aware and be careful, because this flesh can get a hold of you.
Amen.
So what do you do about it, brother? I didn't want to preach about today. Noah had three boys. Three daughter-in-laws and a wife, right?
Yeah.
Noah messed up, buddy. They had a lot of confidence in Noah. They had a lot of faith in Noah.
Yeah.
Noah messed up. Hey, listen to me. You're not going to live long and you're going to find out that your family is going to let you down. That sometimes your family in life is going to mess up. Your family is going to have problems. Your family is going to have issues. You ain't got to go further than that. Your friends will let you down. Your friends will have failures in their life. Hey, listen, you ain't got to go further than that. Your preacher or your faithful Christians will have problems in their life. We'll let you down. What are you saying? I'm saying Noah was a very, very good man. Noah was a righteous man. But Noah had a failure in his life, and it affected other people. Now, no doubt there's somebody here this morning. They're not serving God. They're not saved because somewhere along the line of life, somebody failed in their life. Noah failed. Noah failed right here and let down. Noah failed and let down. So, brother, what do we do, brother, when people are in a life that we look up to, when our families, hey, listen, let me tell you something. Let me tell you kids something. Your parents ain't perfect. They're going to have problems, and they're going to have failures in their life. But I've got a news for you, friend. You ain't perfect either. You've got issues in your life. Hey, look here. Hey, husbands, listen to me. Your wife's going to let you down real bad. But I got news for you, sweetie. You let him down too. We let each other down because we all got issues and problems in our life.
Amen.
Right? Woody, we all got problems. We've all got failures. So how do we deal with this mess? You know, some people, they're fault finders. They find fault.
Oh, yeah.
Ham, Noah, the Bible says Noah got drunk, and he shouldn't have. And Noah went in his own tent. And Ham stuck his nose in Noah's tent.
Yeah.
Ham went sticking his nose in somebody else's business, and Ham seen something that he probably shouldn't have seen. What are you saying, preacher? Are you taking up from Noah? No, sir. God would deal with Noah. God would take care of Noah. But we might have never read this in the Word of God had Ham not stuck his business in Noah's tent.
Amen.
If you want to find fault, stick your nose in other people's tents all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but let's see. Let's stick our nose in your tent. Hey, listen to me. Troll somebody else's Facebook. I look at their pictures. I look at their comments all the time. Hey, but bless God, what if we turn the screen around and look in your mess sometime?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Amen, amen.
You just might as well say amen. He's going to get worse.
Amen.
Ham, listen, brother. Ham might have not seen nothing. Ham might have not found fault. Had Ham not been sticking his nose where Ham shouldn't have been putting his nose at in the first place. Hey, some people, listen to me. You come to church, and the very first thing you try to do is find fault. If you go sticking your nose in people's tents, you'll find something wrong.
Amen.
Amen.
You know why? Because we all got issues, don't we? We all got problems. But it got worse from that. Brother Glenn, the Bible says Ham saw Noah within his tent. And then you know what he done after that? He went, Brother Woody, and shared it with everybody else. Hey, then this didn't stop with sticking his nose in somebody else's tent. Hey, Brother Jeff, he had to go out and share it with everybody that he seen. He had to go out and share it about his daddy's failure to his brothers and whoever else was standing there and listen to him. Do you ever do that? You find out about somebody's fault because you stuck your nose where it wasn't supposed to be. And the next thing you do is you say, pray for brother so-and-so. I believe they're having problems.
Amen.
I'm just really concerned about them.
Amen.
No, you sharing it with everybody. You're a little gossip.
Amen.
And Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 13, I believe I'm right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 13, Paul said, there are some among you that are walking disorderly, that are being busybodies.
Yeah.
How do you deal with the failures of people? Well, he's sticking his nose where it didn't need to be stuck. Hey, then when he saw something that he shouldn't saw, you know what he done? He went out and shared it with everybody. Oh, let me tell you something. And he may have disguised it like pray for daddy. He's been stressed out and got drunk off the boat. Oh, no, sir. He's just spreading gossip about his daddy. And some of you here, you don't have a pill problem. You don't have a drinking problem. But you got a tongue here to Lexington, and you need to get on an altar and repent because you stick your nose where it don't need to be and you share it with other people.
Amen.
Woo! Preaching time. You say, preacher, that's making me mad. Get on the altar and tell God. Hey, listen to me. Listen, some people, they want to find fault, and they find, listen to me, if you look at anybody, brother, long enough, you'll find fault.
Amen.
Amen. What Ham do? Ham stuck his nose where it didn't need to be stuck. Ham shared it. But it gets worse than that. You know what I found out about fault finders? Noah got up and he cursed Canaan. He didn't curse Ham, Brother Jeff Ellswick. He cursed Canaan. Why did he curse Canaan? Because if you come here and you walk out of here and you talk about the preacher or you talk about somebody in your church in front of your youngins, it's going to curse them. It's going to keep them from wanting to ever be involved in the house of God.
Amen.
You know who was the descendants of Ham? If you read Genesis chapter 10, they got names in there, Samantha, they're that long. They're mayonnaise words. They're hard to pronounce. But if you want to find out where you come from, your skin color, and your nationality, why it's there in Genesis chapter 10, that's why it's there. But you know who's... You know who some of the descendants of Ham? Mizraim's one of them. You know who he is? Why, he is the father of the Egyptians. What was the Egyptians like? All through the Scripture, they're worldly, ain't they? So you just go on down and keep finding fault, and you'll raise a bunch of worldly young'uns that won't be in the house of God.
Amen.
You know who else was in his genealogy? Nimrod. The Babylonians. You know what the Babylonians always did? They always warred against the people of God. They always warred against God. So you go out here and run down the preacher. You go out here and run down some poor old Christian. You go out here and stick your nose where it don't belong. You'll raise up children that'll be worldly. You'll raise up children that'll war against the church and won't have nothing to do in the house of God.
Amen.
You know who else was one of his descendants? The founders of Sodom and Gomorrah. They was worldly. They warred against the people of God. And Jamie, they was wicked as they could be. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, listen, when we're going to have to deal with the failures of other people, we don't need to be trying to find fault.
Amen.
You don't need to try to find fault. It's already there anyway, right?
Amen. Amen.
So what we do, preacher, because people are going to fail us in this life. Daddies are going to fail children. Mommies are going to fail children. Husbands are going to fail wives. Wives are going to fail husbands. And it's the preachers, I'm going to fail you. I fail you all the time. I really do. And listen to me, you're going to let down the church and you're going to let down the Lord. What do we do, Brother Randall? How do we face when people around us have all these failures in their life? Hey, listen to me. Let me tell you one way we can face it. Let me tell you one way, one real good way that you can face it is first admit that we all got problems. Bible says in Romans 3:23, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm going to tell you something. We need to look in our own mirror before we go look at somebody else. And let's just be honest. We all got our issues. Matthew chapter 7 is what the old backslider, is what the old listening person out there wants to throw in your face. You're not supposed to judge. Yes, you are. The Bible says a spiritual man judgeth all things. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said this, and judge lest ye be not judged, for with what judgment you shall meet, it shall be judged unto you. He said, and why cast the beam mold out of your brother's eye when you got a beam in your own eye? You know what he's saying right there? Don't be a hypocrite and try to correct everybody else when you got the same sin in your life.
Amen.
Right?
Amen, amen.
That's like a drunk going to another drunk saying, you don't need to drink, it's going to send you to hell. Well, get the beam out of your own eye.
Yeah.
But if you're living right, doing good, and trying to do right, somebody's living wicked as the devil, and you go to them and say, listen, you need to get in church clean, you act up, and they say, you ain't supposed to judge me. Bible says a spiritual man judgeth all things. By your discernment and your opinion, they need to get right with God.
Amen.
But listen to me at something, folks, to be honest. We all got issues. Would you like for everybody in this church to go look in your tent?
No.
Would you? I wouldn't, would you?
No.
Sometimes we just like to talk about other people's stuff. Sometimes we like to talk about other people's stuff in their tent because it keeps the focus off our own tent.
That's good for you,
bro. Let's talk about his tent.
That's true.
Because then while all our focus will be on his tent, we can slide some stuff under my tent.
Amen.
How about you worry about your tent? That's what God's going to hold you. God ain't going to hold you. God ain't going to hold you responsible for what's in my tent. That's between me and God. And if it ain't right, God will drag it out there and expose it if you don't get it right. But you need to be worrying about no sticking your nose in somebody else's tent. You need to keep your nose in your own tent because you got enough problems in your own tent.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good preaching.
Maybe Ham's kids didn't serve God because Ham got out and blasted what his daddy done.
Amen.
Well, that's a real good witness, ain't it? From much. Have you ever heard anybody do that? Somebody lost in front of you, you go down and talk about, well, what preacher run off walk some woman, or who's backslid on God, or who's got cold in front of a bunch of sinners? Boy, that's a real good testimony. That's a real good witness. Hey, Jesus said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Hey, listen to me. Sometimes you just need to learn to keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
Let's just be honest about it. Let's first admit we got issues in our own tent, don't we? We got our own problems. Well, preacher, can I get help with this? Because people's let me down, and I've got to face these failures in people. Well, let's look at your own self for a minute. Look at your own problems. And then look at something else too, by the way. Focus on good. I mean, little boy, he lived 950 years. The man lived 950 years. Now, if you live 950 years, don't you think there's going to be a time in your life that you're going to mess up? Boy, wouldn't you hate to be defined by one little slip up in your life? Wouldn't you hate, listen, for one little thing that you've done in your life to define you for the rest of your life? The Bible did say Noah was a righteous man. Noah was perfect in his generations. Noah worked and preached for over 100 years. But he was faithful. He stayed what he needed to be doing. He got on the boat. He did what God told him to do. It'd be awful to take that one little slip up in his life and define Noah. But you let somebody do something and they'll mess up one time, and the church is the world's worst, and son, they'll crucify them till the cows come home.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, the man did do some good things. You ever see some of these people, they'll preach 30 years, they'll mess up, they'll be out of the ministry. Hey, and they need to be out of the ministry if they mess up, disqualify themselves.
Yeah.
But don't say they wasn't ever right.
That's right.
I mean, they did do some things good, didn't they? They might be disqualified. They might can't preach. But do we just write them off? They did some things. Hey, husbands, your wife does have some good points. Hey, she might have messed up here, but what about all the good she's done? Hey, wives, what about your husband? He might have had a bad spell here or a bad spell there, but what about the totality of his life? What about all his life? Is it all bad? Do they got any good points about them at all?
Amen.
Have they done anything good? Well, I'm glad God don't focus on the bad on us. I can tell you that right now. I'm glad God just don't say, Bubby White, that little time in your life when you was right here, that's what I'm going to define you as. I'm sure glad God don't. We're bad to do each other that way, but I'm glad God don't do us that way.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 11, we call it the Hall of Faith, but we need to call it the Hall of Restored Saints. There's Abraham there, and God talks about what Abraham done, but God never mentions Abraham and Ishmael. God never mentions Abraham going down to Egypt. There's Sarah there, and God never mentions about Sarah lying and mocking him. There's Moses there, and God never mentions about Moses killing an Egyptian, or Moses didn't want to do this, or Moses striking the rock twice. God never mentions that. There's Gideon there, and God don't mention about Gideon hiding behind the wine press. There's Samson there, and God don't talk about the failures of Samson, and God focuses on the good in those saints. And I'll tell you right now, you and I need to look at and focus on the good in what that person's done.
Amen.
You'd have a better attitude if you would. I mean, has everybody been all that bad? Wife, your husband been all that bad? Don't raise your hand. Husbands, is she that bad all the time? That bad that you got to throw her out, or you got to throw him out? Is it that bad? I mean, there's no redeemable qualities there. There's nothing good there. They do nothing good. Hey, listen to me. I'm sure glad God don't take one little mishap and one little spell in our life and say that's what I'm defining that person as. I'm telling you, we got a God. That's a God of mercy, brother, and a God of love. And He focuses on that part of us that He sees in us.
Amen. Amen.
when God seen Moses on the backside of the desert. Hey, listen, God didn't say, I know you killed that Egyptian, and I know you're scared. God didn't see that. God focuses on what He saw Moses could do. And God sees the same thing, son, in you, and same thing, honey, in you. That God sees something in you that you don't even see yourself.
Amen.
How you deal with people that fail in your life? Well, first admit, let's be honest with yourself. Mitch, you got issues. I talked to a young preacher, Brother Gert, a few weeks ago. And he's sideways with his pastor.
Amen.
He's sideways with him. And, you know, I don't agree with it either. But I said, look here, before you go say something to your pastor, go say something to God about it first. And I promise you, if you'll go say something to God about it first, you won't need to go say nothing to your pastor. He told me later on, said, you was right. I went and told God. God told me to hush. He'll deal with that.
Yeah.
Boy, some people need to learn that, don't they?
Yeah, Lord,
amen.
Brother Kevin, I need to learn that too. Now, I know you don't. I know, hey, listen, I know y'all spiritual.
I do.
Hey, I know you're on cloud nine. Hey, I know everything's okay in your home. I know everything's all right, but now pray for me and pray for these other ones that ain't.
Yeah.
Let's just get honest about it, will you?
That's right. Yeah.
Let's just be honest with ourselves. First admit you've got some issues in your own life.
Yes,
first admit you've got some problems in your own life. Hey, listen, before we go looking down our nose at the poor old dope addict or the poor old drunk, let's look at our own self and say, I want to get that person in the house of God. I want to see that person get saved. That's not why God born them in this world, was to be strung out on dope. God sees something in them. Hey, but listen to me. We got to get them where they can hear preaching, where they can feel the power of God, and that the Spirit of God drag them and get a hold of them. It'll change their life.
Amen.
We need to be like Japheth and Shem. They said, yeah, daddy's in there. They didn't even look at his nakedness. They put a burden on their shoulders. They put a garment on their shoulders, Brother Garrett. And they walked back in there. They knew what kind of shape daddy was in. But they didn't even want to see it. They wanted to cover him up and go on out. You know what we need to do, a lot of people? We just need to cover them up in prayer.
Amen.
People that don't attend this church like they need to attend, it used to attend all the time. It used to be on fire for God. I'm telling you right now, they're getting backslid on God. And it's always going to be my fault, by the way. It's always going to be something I done. But let me tell you something. They're getting cold and they're backsliding on God. And it's nobody's fault but their own.
Amen.
And you know what we need to do about them, instead of running them down and talk about them, how sorry they are? We need to cover them up with prayer. Because I don't want to see their kids messed up. I don't want to see their home messed up. I don't want to see them back there on drugs again. I want to see them get right with God. I want to see them get the blessings of God in their life. And we need to be like old Japheth and Shem and cover them up at an altar with prayer.
Amen. Amen.
Is that all right?
Amen.
How about we first admit, bro, we all got issues.
Yeah.
We all, Brother James, got issues and problems. I don't see no halos on no heads in here. If it is, it's sitting on horns. Amen. They all got issues in here. Y'all got problems in here. Y'all got little areas of your life that if you listen to me, if you would be honest, you wouldn't want everybody in this room sticking their nose in your tent watching you 24 hours a day. Am I right or wrong?
Right. Amen.
But some of you, you like sticking your nose in Noah's tent. Then when you see what's in Noah's tent, you don't go tell everybody. That's true, thank Garrett. What about life? How do you deal with people's failures? How about a little forgiveness and mercy? How about foregoing something? Me and my wife got married July 1st, 94. 24 years this July, Brother Jamie Newsom. There's been a lot of forgiveness in 24 years. Had to forgive me. If you've been married more than one day in your life, more than 6 months, More than 6 minutes.
Amen.
You're going to have to learn to do some forgiving.
Amen.
And forgetting. Yep. And forgoing. Yep. Or you're going to be on your 50th marriage.
True.
I ain't going to say numbers because some of them might be married much time. I'm just saying. Because let me tell you something, folks. Woody, people fail. People mess up. And I know some things can't be made right, and then you got to do whatever and go on. But if we're going to stay right with each other and stay right before God, we got to learn to do some forgiving of one another.
Amen.
Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 4, verse 31, he said, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and malice and evil speaking be put away from you." He said in 32, he said, "And be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you."
Amen.
That's what the Word of God says. He said, "Let all bitterness and wrath and evil speaking be put away from you." And that tells me that they had some of that in their homes. They had some of that in their church. And Paul said the remedy for that is be kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God. For Christ's sake. Not for my sake, brother. Brother Goble, not for your sake. God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know why you can go to heaven? God forgave you because of what Jesus done.
Amen.
Not because He looked down and said, Kevin's a pretty good old boy. He'd be a pretty good old preacher. I think I'll forgive him." No. He forgave me because Christ done for me.
Amen.
How do we deal with failures of people? We learn to just forgive them a little bit and let it go. Huh? Paul said in 2 Corinthians, I believe about chapter 6, he said, there's something going on down there in that church that's bothering me. He said, "Brethren is going to law against brethren." He said, "Brethren is defrauding brethren and going to law against the unjust. He said, "The sinners are sitting in judgment over two brothers that are going to law against each other." And Paul said this. He said, "You ought to forgive. You ought to be able to take the fault and move on." Let me tell you something, dear Christian friend. You ain't going to be a Christian long if you don't learn to take the fault and move on.
Amen.
I ain't letting nothing go. I'm getting my 2 cents in. I'm going to get my pound of flesh. Well, you ain't going to be what God wants you to be in this life.
No.
And you sure God ain't going to preach long if you call to preach. Amen.
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 How you deal with failures of other people? Won't you learn to forgive them? Have a little mercy on them. You want somebody to have mercy on your children someday, don't you? You better be merciful to their children. You want somebody to have mercy on you someday, you better show a little mercy to them. If you go around standing in judgment all the time with a big old hammer, guess what's going to happen to you? That big old hammer of judgment, it's going to come down on you. Years ago, brother, people from this area, people from the east, traveled out west to the prairies. That's where they was traveling out west, where the land was at. The United States had bought all that land out there. And they had all these big prairies. These wide open prairies. And brother, this big band was going out from the east, was going out to California, Colorado, to claim them lands out there. And they seen on the horizon, they seen clouds rising up, a smoke rising up. There was wildfires out there like they are now. And they was coming towards them at a real fast rate. And the wind was a-blowing. And they had nowhere to go. It's flat land. And the fire was a-burning as far as they could see. So you know what that wagon owner done? He went and set a fire in a circle. And then he had all the wagons get in a circle. Then when all that wildfire came, it just went all around them. Because it couldn't burn what was already burnt. And when the fire passed over them, then they went on. You know, that's what Jesus did in mercy for you and for me. I'm not going to face the fires of hell because Jesus already faced the fires of hell for me. So when judgment comes along and God looks down and sees me and all my failures and all my faults because Jesus Christ took the fire of God's wrath for me, it's going to pass over me because I'm hid in Christ. Let's stand this morning. Adam, get us a song.